The only different thing we're going to do this morning before we get started, Jimmy is not going to be with us. He's got some stomach issues, so he called me. He's not going to be with us. But before we do the doxology, I wish everybody would stand. We're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And Christy's going to lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the ability to come to here this morning and hear another portion of your word from Brother Lee. We ask that you be with him as he leads this service and everything. It is our hope that we do everything that in your will as we go through this day and every day. It is in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Do you have any birthdays or announcements?
Yes, I do. Dave.
Anybody have some naps that they'd like to make? Brother Lee, I guess it's up to you.
Well, let me see if I can think of some.
Well, I do have one thing. We've got a card here. If anybody might sign it after church, if you look out front at the sign, you'll see who's following. I mean, it's going to be me. I don't know who did it, but I was
missing.
So,
we're going to send them a card.
Okay. All right. The prayer list, I think, is up to date, much as I can make it. And I do have one correction. I can't find him now. Paul Medler. That's Eddie Jacina's brother-in-law. Not just a friend, he's his brother-in-law. So, just a correction. And other than that, I think everything is up to date. There are a number of changes on there. And let me recommend that if you gave me one of those names and there's been some change, please let me know. We'll try to keep it up to date. You may have noticed every spring, college basketball fans anticipate March Madness. This year it was the road to San Antonio for the men's teams and the road to Tampa for the women's teams. That has become common practice, I heard, for the championship round to be labeled "The Road Ends Here." The beginning of what we call Passion Week could also be designated as the road to Jerusalem for Jesus. He entered the city to this tumultuous welcome by cheering crowds by the end of the week. He was nailed to a cross, mocked without pity. The road ends here appeared to be the proper label. When his body was hanging lifeless on the cross, that was the end of him. At least, that's what his enemies thought. That's what his friends also thought. But his friends came to realize their hopes had not been crushed on the road to Jerusalem, because that road had been on God's GPS since before the creation of the world. Jesus traveled that road. He built the road to New Jerusalem, the destiny for all his followers. So what we celebrate with the bread and the cup in the act of communion is that by giving his body and his blood, the road does not end here. Actually, the road to heaven was completed there. And the bond between God and humanity was repaired forever. Let's remember him today.
Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for everything that you do and provide for us. We live in a part of the world where the blessings are many, but that's no guarantee that those blessings will still be around in the year to come. But we want to really thank you this morning, Lord, for your Son Jesus, because if it wasn't for him, we would have nothing to look forward to when our life here on earth is finished. And we are grateful for that opportunity that you and he provides for us. And we partake of these emblems, which remind us of the bloodshed and the body that was given for us to have that. And we are grateful and forever will be grateful for that opportunity. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would bless the offering, Lord. Let it be done to do your work here on earth, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for your many blessings, Lord. You've blessed us beyond what we can say, beyond what we can even say. Lord, as the world is going through some troubling times with the world leaders, Lord, we never know who our friend or our foe is, Lord, but you've told us to pray for our friends and also pray for our enemies, Lord. So we want to just lift up all the leaders in the world, Lord. We pray that you would be leading them and guiding them. And Lord, when you've told us to pray for our enemies, sometimes we don't understand it, Lord, but if they knew you the way that we know you, we would have no enemies. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Will you join me now in singing together hymn number 122, just the first and last verses, okay? Number 450, then, is our next song, Living for Jesus. And let's sing again, just the first and the last verses.
Living a nation and our grace.
468, then, is our prayer hymn for this morning. Let's stand together while we sing just the first verse. Gracious God, your word admonishes us to set our minds on things above, where Christ is. This is very difficult for us, because in our lives we deal mostly with physical things, things that we eat, things that we work for, things we would like to enjoy, but all of them physical. Our understanding is limited and our experience is narrow, and things of the Spirit do not come easily to us. But you are infinite, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, present everywhere. And you want to teach us about love and joy and peace and righteousness. So we pray that you'll help us to lift our vision above the things of this world and grow in appreciation for all that you want us to learn and understand. Open to us the enormity of the gift of salvation you offer us in your Son Jesus Christ. And help us to follow in his steps because they lead to eternal life. Fill us with gratitude to him and hope in him, for we pray in his name. Amen. Just a quick passage of scripture. One of the most beautiful in the Bible, I guess. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you." "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." Great words. What's one thing? I wonder if you know one thing that money cannot buy. No ideas? Happiness? Well, what about time? Do you ever think about that? Nobody. I mean, nobody. Not even Bill Gates or Oprah Winfrey or Warren Buffett or Mark Zuckerberg can buy themselves a single extra moment of time. Steve Jobs found that out October 5th, 2011. Found that his $8.3 billion fortune bought him a lot of things in this life, except time. His time ran out. But what if you could buy more time? What would you give for one more month or one more year when your time is about up? What would you give if you could live forever? For all eternity, if you never had to face the uncertainty of death. Well, that's the central idea of a novel written in 1975 by a lady named Natalie Babbitt. The title of the novel was Tuck Everlasting. And I didn't read the book, I never heard of it, but I read about it. And the main character is a young girl by the name of Winnie Foster. She comes from a well-bred, wealthy, highly respected family. She dresses in the finest clothes. She's afforded every opportunity. But her wealthy lifestyle comes at a price. You see, her days are planned out for her. She's not allowed to run free or play as the other children do. So one day, she escapes and goes exploring in the woods surrounding their family home. And it's there that she encounters the Tuck family, a close-knit family with a rather mysterious past. The mystery is that the Tucks have found a spring at the base of an old oak tree. It has a curious quality. Anyone who drinks of the water from this spring will become immortal. They will live forever. But you stay at whatever age you are when you drink the water. Now, the parents in this family were in their mid-40s when they drank from the spring, and they'll stay in their mid-40s forever. Remember, this is a novel. It's fiction. The oldest son, Miles, is in his mid-20s, and he'll stay in his mid-20s forever. The youngest son, Jesse, he's actually 104 years old, but he will be biologically 17 years old forever because he drank of the water. Now, of course, young Jesse and young Winnie, guess what? Fall in love. And Jesse wants Winnie to drink the water so they can be 17 together forever. But before she drinks the water, the father, Angus Tuck, takes her out in a boat in the middle of the river. And he says, look around you. This river, these woods, they're just teeming with life. It's flowers and trees and frogs and fish. It's all part of the wheel of life. It's always changing, always growing, like you, Winnie. You were once a child. Now you're about to become a woman. And he said, I want you to think about this because it's important. One day you'll grow up and you'll do something important. You'll have children, maybe. Then one day you'll go out just like the flame of a candle. And that'll make way for a new life. That's certain. That's the natural way of things. And then he gives a deep sigh and he says, and then there's us. What we Tucks have, you can't call it living. We just are. We're like rocks stuck at the side of a stream. Do you want to stay stuck at the side of a stream? Do you want to stay stuck as you are right now forever? I just want to make you understand you can't have living without dying. So don't be afraid of death, Winnie. Be afraid of an unlived life. Well, several people reviewed the book. And one reviewer said, Babbitt's book explores the concept of immortality, which might not be as desirable as it appears to be. From Babbitt's point of view, immortality or eternity was like rocks stuck along the side of a stream. That's a sad picture, isn't it? Rocks just sitting there and not moved by time or by the water flowing over them or anything. Staying just the same. Babbitt said in her book, as for some, time passes slowly. An hour can seem an eternity. For others, there can never be enough time. For the Tucks, time just didn't exist. Now here's the amazing thing about time. You can't see it. You can't touch it. But it flows. It moves. Yesterday flows into today. Today flows into tomorrow. Always moving, always flowing in one direction. It never flows backwards. It always moves forward. Which tells us what? That time, like a river, has a beginning, a source, and it moves away from that source. For many, it moves to some mysterious unknown goal, but all the Tucks can do is sit on the banks of time and watch it as it sweeps people and events past them toward a destination that they will never reach, a conclusion they will never experience. Well, given the way that Babbitt describes eternity, it doesn't sound too great, does it? That's not the Bible understanding of eternity. In the end, Winnie decides not to drink the water, but to live her life to the fullest in the time that she has. But I think this writer does not touch on the true tragedy of the Tuck family. The Apostle Paul points it out in 2 Corinthians when he said, to be present in the body is to be what? Absent from the Lord. Now there's another element in the picture. The Tuck family is trapped in their bodies forever. Here on earth. And time flows in just one direction. It flows from its source and it carries us to our destination. For us, it will be death. But even without that magical spring, you see, we're all going to live forever anyway. You don't need a magical spring to live forever. The question is, which eternity will you live in? Everyone alive today is going to be alive somewhere forever and ever. The concept of hell now is not too popular. Even though Jesus described hell as a place of everlasting torment, some people, including many Christians, claim, well, there's no fire in hell, that's just a figure of speech. Well, let's assume that they're right. Suppose in hell there's no fire, there's no brimstone. Hell is just everything in the world minus God. Minus His love, minus His grace, minus His influence. Suppose hell is everything in the world except the good and the godly and the moral and the pure and the clean and the righteous. Would you want to live here? Would you want to live in a place like that? I wouldn't. Not for 5 minutes. But there is eternal life apart from God. And there is eternal life spent with God. The Apostle Paul explained in 2 Corinthians, he said, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Jesus was not some rock sitting by the side of a river, the river of history. Jesus was not just a historical figure who lived and died during a certain period of time. He was with God in the beginning. At least that's what the Gospel of John tells us. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Wow! Did you ever think about that? Not only did Jesus come to earth and spend a few years here, not only was He eternally existing, but He was actually active in the creation. He is God who has always existed. There's a scene in the 8th chapter of John that's sort of funny, in a way. Jesus had angered the Jewish religious authorities by claiming to be eternal. You see, Jesus said all these outlandish things, and we don't always catch how bold they were. But the people that were listening to Him did. In this case, He said, if anyone keeps My word, he shall never see death. And His listeners said, are You greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And Jesus' response to them was so stunning, so bold, so outlandish, that some of the people picked up stones. They were going to stone Him to death. He said, when they said, are You greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? He said, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. This is the name by which God identified Himself to Moses. It describes God living forever. I am. Not I was or I will be. I am. Now, from our perspective, of course, everything happens like a series of events. One thing relates to another like links in a chain. One event triggers the next event, and then we can't see what's in the future. But God, it's not that way for God. God dwells in eternity. He exists in the past, and in the present, and in the future, all at the same time. This is not an easy sermon, folks. This is a sort of a hard sermon. It's hard for me to preach because I don't understand eternity. I expect it's hard for you to listen to because we don't think about these things often enough. Anyway, at this very moment, God is here in this building with us, I believe. He is also with Abraham. And He is also sitting on the throne in heaven. For to Him a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. Paul wrote to the Colossian church, and he said these words, and this is very profound. He's talking about Jesus. He said, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created. things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He's the glue that keeps everything together. Jesus, in one of His final moments with His disciples, He prayed this. He said, "Now, Father, glorify Me in Your presence with the glory I had with You before the world began." He was there before the world began. He had the glory of God then. He laid it aside to come to us. In fact, in Philippians, Paul wrote, "Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." So this is all simply to say that Jesus is eternal. He came to visit us for a few years, and then He resumed His royal status, His everlasting existence. But He promised that He would take us there to be with Him forever. See, there's the important thing. He promised us. It means that God cares for us. This is not a God who, as some people claim, created the world, wound it up, and just threw it out there and forgot about it. He's not like the Tucks, creating time and then just watching it pass by. No, He created time and then He stepped into time. If God didn't care, He wouldn't have come. He certainly would not have allowed Himself to be abused and crucified if He did not love you enormously. The eternal God stepped into time and space so you could get to know Him. So you could be forgiven and inherit the eternal kingdom of heaven. John said, "No one has ever seen God. It's God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made Him known." Jesus showed us what God is like. Now, what else does this mean to us? Well, it means that God has a plan, and the plan is this. Jesus came from glory, and He's gone back to glory, and He wants to bring you there too. It's as simple as that. In Jesus' prayer that I mentioned earlier, He prayed, "Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am and to see My glory, the glory You've given Me because You loved Me before the creation of the world." He wants you to be with Him. And that's always been His plan since before the beginning of time. The prophets spoke about it. Jesus promised it. And the day will come when you can inherit it. The plan of God to bring you into an everlasting kingdom. The plan that started long before time began. That kingdom has a king. His name is Jesus. And He has reigned since before the world began and will reign long after the world is gone. The plan is to give us eternal life. As I said, I don't understand eternity. I can't comprehend what it means to live forever. But the Bible says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This has been God's plan from the start and is taking the world in a one specific direction toward eternity. His plan is for those who love Him and serve Him to be with Him. No eye has seen, the Bible says, nor ear has heard, nor mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Jesus is the Eternal One who stepped into time and history to deliver us from eternal hell. God's plan of salvation was in His heart from the very beginning of time. It's an eternal plan, and God has loved you since the creation of the universe. That's the central message of my ministry. And I want to share it with you as plainly as I can. God in heaven, having created human beings, knowing we would live somewhere forever, saw the dilemma of His creation. I can imagine way, way back in the Chronicles of Eternity, God thinking, what shall we do? Every human being is going to live somewhere forever. I want them to come and live with me. But because of their failure and their sin and their rebellion, I can't bring them here. What can I do? So indeed, God figured out what to do. He took His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, and said, Son, will you go down to that earth and live there for a while? And will you take upon yourself their sins? And will you die in their place? And will you allow eternity to bring them here to us? And He did it. Rose from the dead 3 days later, and now again is seated on His eternal throne, where one day we can be with Him forever and ever. That's a promise that is as true today, and it will be as true tomorrow as when God first made it thousands of years ago. Because for the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is just like a day. I want you to be, you will be eternal. I want you to be eternal with Him. And that's why we offer this invitation. We're singing number 454 as our invitation hymn today. And we'd invite you to step out and take Jesus as your Savior if you haven't done that. We want you to be in heaven with Him one day. Let's stand while we sing. God bless you. I want to thank Phil for coming from way down in Danville to bless us with some good music. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to walk each day in the light of eternity. Help us to consider what we do each moment and how it will affect our forever life. and show us how to set our mind on things above, for they are the things that really matter. And this is our prayer, our earnest prayer, in the name of Jesus. Amen.